Talked about last week. We talked about the chashivas of Shalom Bayis. How we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Bria, even without the cheshbon of children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bria itself was Zohar in the cave of Bara'am. That was the unit of the Bria, really, of the person, of Adam HaRishon. According to, whether it's Du Partzufin, I mean, according to all the Mandiyamim and the Gemara, the original intention of the Bria was always to have this team of the Zohar and the Nekeva. So for that Bria, the person, the Adam, to reach his goal, obviously they have to function together to maximize their functioning together, because they're indeed chad gufa. And certainly we mentioned for the children's sake there has to be shalom. That's clear, l'chol mevin. We spoke about that last week. That it's the husband's achrayus. It's the husband's chiyuv to see to it that the shalom bayis. The Gemara says zocha ezer lo zocha kenegdo. So that is addressing the husband. And it's saying, if you are zocha, if you act correctly, that's what zocha means. It doesn't mean if you have schusim and min hashamayim there, you're zocha. It means, like it always means when the Gemara uses that lashon, zocha means if you act properly and you deserve the ezer, so then she'll be an ezer. So lo zocha kenegdo. So it's up to the husband. And it's not simple, we said. Can't assume it's going to occur. It's work. Why? First of all, each individual has issues. That's first of all. They're coming with baggage from the past because they didn't grow up together. They didn't grow up in the same environment. They each have issues, whatever issues, whatever baggage a person has. So you have two people with issues. You have the regular rule of shame, shame, partzufei and shova, and kachan deyon se and shovos. So they each have different daya of how things should be. The backgrounds are b'chal different. And then it's different. So you're really trying to put together two different people. And then they have, just like by Torah, Zocha Nasat Leisam Chayim, Lei Zocha Nasat Leisam Modas, because you're taking Ruchnius and Gashmius and you're trying to meld it into one unit. So if you're not Zoich, it becomes a Sama Modas. You just use the Torah and it just clashes with the Gashmius. And then terrible things can ensue, whether in terms of Gaiva, in terms of using the Torah L'Raw, because it's not meshing the Gashmius with the Ruchnius. So you need Zocha. And if Zocha, then you... Gvaldik, Torah, Sam Chayim, the Ruchnius and the Gashmius meshes, and you reach Shleimus. So here also, Zocha Nas Loyezer, and the unit meshes, and it's perfection, and it's the Tachlis and the goal of the Bria. And Lo Zocha, you have two people living in the same house, and then they're always fighting with each other, because it's two different people. So if it doesn't work, they're always fighting, no surprise. Another point that we talked about is that the whole dynamic where the natural dynamic of a household, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Matbi and the Bria, is that the husband is the Iker and the wife is the Ezer. But if he's not Zoiche, if he doesn't treat her properly, So then you have the seeds of resentment right there. I mean, it's tailor-made. Besides the fact that they're two different people and they have different backgrounds and different issues and everything we said till now, but you're asking for trouble if you're not Zoicha, because there's a natural resentment, because she's saying, hey, I'm a person too. Why should I do this to you? Why should I be an Azer? And maybe she expects too much of him in return to being an Azer. So there's seeds of resentment, there's seeds of expectation, there's seeds, right? So you have all of these things make it difficult. That's why you have to work on it. More than you have to work on parenting. And if there's parenting classes, there certainly should be Shalom Bayis classes. Okay. The flip side of all of this is that a person should think of his wife as his soulmate. As trite as the word is, but that's the Metzias. Zachar in the cave of Bro'am. Avram Yom Vayu Metzias Avlad. This is two halves of the Neshama coming together. Not only that, see, I have a lot of unwritten theses for my PhD that I can't get because I never got past high school. But I have a whole bunch of them stored up. So one of them is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you the Zivug. Since the Bra says that a person's avod in this world is to be misak in his midos, so I've seen this in the last, over the last, I could say, 20 years of dealing with such issues and with people, that it's borer by me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you the zivug that in order to get along you have to be misak in the mid that you were sent down to this world to be misak in. So you make believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shatran, right? So the Shatran calls you up and say, I have such a good shidduch for you. I have a person that's going to make you crazy, that's going to try your patience, that's going to spend your money, that's going to make you angry. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shatran, talking. Because he's writing you a shidduch that's going to force you to be misak in your midos. You're going to have to repeat yourself. You're going to have to control your anger. You're going to have to sometimes be machnia yourself, right? That's the only way it's going to work. That's the midah you have to be masakin. So the shatan that goes up and says, this is a perfect shidduch, and don't listen, the Eivishter is the real shatan. Except he's not talking. He says, I have someone, so, but when your wife gets you annoyed, you have to say, oh, that's the reason, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the shatan talking. This is the wife that's perfect for you. She wants to get you angry. You're not going to get angry. You're going to control your anger, or you're going to control your patience, or you're not going to be stingy, or you're not going to be late, or you're not going to be arrogant, or you're not going to insist that you're always right. Whatever your midah is, that's what you're going to have to, that's a theory of mine, that's the exact midah you're going to have to be misakin for things to work. But al kaponim, there's a zocha bracha, we'll call it, zocha nasis le'ezer. So the yesod we said last week, and we'll continue from there, the major yesod is that el ishech teshukosech means, this is the Chazanish we quoted, that an isha wants to be moitza chayim be'enei baila. That's what she needs. That's what she needs more than anything else in the world. She wants to feel that she's moitza chayim be'enei baila. She wants to feel loved and protected and cared about, and she has to feel that her needs are cared for, that she's taken into cheshbon when you do things, because she's in that position of being an Azer. The Tav Lameisav principle says that she has to feel your companionship. Again, she's an Azer, so she has to feel that you care about her, that you're taking her into cheshbon. So you have to praise her, you have to compliment her. Okay, you can tell her you want her to be a good Azer. Tell her she's as pretty as the day you married her. Because every color, the day you married her, that's the peak of her beauty, is the day you married her. So you tell her she's even prettier than the day you married her. That's the kind of compliment you have to compliment your wife. She wants to know that she's motzachein be'einecha. You like her cooking. You like the way she looks. You like her dress. You like the way she takes care of you. You like the way she dresses in order to please you. You're aware of it. You appreciate that she dresses to please you. That's what she wants more than anything else. She wants to be Molzachem Bein and Baila, and that's the Iker Zocha. If he treats her like someone, and he fills these needs of hers, emotional need, psychological need, that's what we said last week. The woman's main need is a psychological, emotional need to feel the companionship, to feel secure. The Bias Nus, Chazal said, if she doesn't have a ksuba, and she doesn't feel secure in the marriage, even if she has her ksuba, but she doesn't think she has her ksuba, she thinks it's lost, she thinks it's lost, she thinks she doesn't have it, she thinks she was moichelit, we passed like Reb Meir, in Afal-P, you'll get up to it soon, some of you, even if you're really mechuyev the ksuba, but she's insecure, a woman that's insecure in the marriage, she thinks her husband doesn't like her, to give her a get, wants to get rid of her, to be a znus. That's what the Gemara says, that's what the Mishnah says. Arezu bilas nus. That doesn't mean technically you're over a lot, but that's how the Gemara characterizes it. Because that's what we said last week. The woman has to feel cherished, loved, cared for, companionship, that you care about her, that you love her, that you like her, that you want her around, that you want her to be your companion. If you have a wife that demands your help and you feel it's, she's demanding it, if you feel, a lot of times they demand it because they need it, but if you feel she's demanding it too much and these things come up, you could be 100% sure it's your own fault that she doesn't feel that you care about her. So Mamela, she's demanding your help because she wants to see that you care about her and she wants to, like, show you that she needs you. But if you would show her that you care about her and you're concerned how she's doing, then the level, it'll go exactly in tandem. We also mentioned last week that you have to make her feel that whatever you do, you're doing for the both for both of you. So with money, it's easy. It's easy to do it. Just give her access to the money for the household things. You give her access. You're not working and earning money for yourself. You're earning it for both of you. So there, it's easy to do. And if you can't do it, you got a problem, and you have to come speak to a rabb or a counselor or somebody. If you don't give, if you, these people who put their wives on a budget, or who are mitzantzim their wives, or make them give a din v'cheshbon, it's not good. That's not the way it should be. We'll talk about it soon. The woman is the malka of the household, the Gemara says, and she has to have the say in the running of the household. If there's an issue, that a person holds sometimes his wife's a spendthrift, and she doesn't have a cheshbon of money, and she just spends it, and it's creating a problem, you have to sit and talk. But you don't cut her off and, like, treat her as a child and say, okay, this is how much money you're getting. That's the loizacha. That's not going to get you anywhere. It'll just make things worse. But that's, by money, it's easy. But by Torah, we said, also, she has to feel, if she feels you're running out of the house to be rid of, to get away, and she's missing that companionship, that. So then she's going to demand you stay home and put the kids to sleep and do the dishes and do the 1,001 things that the household needs. But if you bring the ruchnius into the house and you make her, you show her that you appreciate that she's letting you learn, and you're not learning for yourself, you're learning for the house, and you share thoughts of Torah with her, or she feels that the level of ruchnius in the house is raised because you're involved in ruchnius too, because you're going to learn. And she's the beneficiary of you going to learn, and she feels like you're going to learn for her also, and it's affecting the whole house, like the money, right? You give her the money, so you give her the ruchnius. But that's an achrayus you have to make her feel that way. If you keep the base medrash outside the house, and in the house is total gashmi, then yeah, she's going to resent it when you go out to learn, because that means you're running away from the house. You have to make sure that the house's ruchnius level is raised when, because you're going out to learn and you're connecting to Torah. So she has to have the benefit. You do it by you talk to her. You can tell her thoughts of Torah. And then your general hamhaga, hopefully, would be a more ruchniistic one, and she will see the difference in the household, in your midos, in the way you talk, in the way you carry yourself, in the things that interest you. So she sees the ruchniistic level in the house being raised, so she feels she's the beneficiary of the learning as well. Another part of her feeling your companionship is that you should share your life with her. She wants to feel part of your life. So you should ask her how her day was, and you should tell her how your day was. And you should tell her where you've been. Right? You should not. So a lot of people live with a mechitza shel barza, right? They're very secretive. They don't tell their wife. Always has exceptions, of course. The Gemara itself says, right? Having said that, though, you should always tell your wife where you've been, what you've done, where you're going. You're going out of the house, resentment. You're going out of the house, and you just tell her where you're going and what you're going to be doing. She feels that companionship. She feels she's part of your life. The resentment melts away, and she's ready to be an Ezer. Can I have something ready for you when you come back home? That's all you need. You have to be Zocha. You have to treat her the right way. And that's the Gemara, that's the Bria. She'll be the Ezer. She's there for you. But you have to be Zocha. Zocha, as I said, in this respect, tell her where you've been, where you were, what you did. Share your. Don't feel her shut out of your life. If she feels shut out of your life, then why should she have a hot drink waiting for you when you come home? And if she will have the hot drink, you can be sure she's resentful that you expected to have a hot drink for you. Well, what? Why? If she's part of your life, that's the Zocha, then she's the Ezer. We talked about some of the technical halachas last week in the Rambam, the Shibudim, the Momenus. This week I want to talk more about the Ben Odom Lachavero halachas. The regular, good old Ben Odom Lachavero applies to your wife also. And in fact, it applies to your wife even more so, because you're with her more often than you're with other people. And there's more interpersonal relationship. So the usual Ben Odom Lachavero applies in spades Ben Odom Leishto. So first and foremost, and we mentioned it last week and it bears repeating, is first and foremost in Ben Odom Lachaveru is Hakaras HaTov. We mentioned the Gemara of Rav Chia, whose wife, he had the most terrible wife in the world, she made his life miserable, and yet he bought her things whenever he had a chance to, because he was Makitov, for her running the house, for being there for him. And that's why Odom Arisho, right? Chava brought Lisa La'ola to the whole world. And she was machshel him. And then she said, it was Chava's fault. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, slapped him in the face. Said, you're a kofri tov. Chava's there for you. She's your Ezer. And that's the Kfiyas HaTov. So the first and foremost is the Hakaras HaTov. You have to feel. And you have to feel it. And you're talking to her. Has to reflect it. Has to reflect. Has to be polite to your wife, even though you're with friends and you're in love. But you have to be polite also. You have to say thank you and please. And these are the words. And your tone of voice. That's what the Rambam says. Always speak gently to her. Your tone of voice should reflect the hakaras hatoiv that you mechuyev to feel. And that's, again, regular Ben Odom Lachaveru. But with your wife, it's totally nogeya. It's always nogeya. It's nogeya with more intensity. So that's Hakaras HaTov. And your talking and acting has to reflect Hakaras HaTov. And think, when you make a tov to someone, so you talk a different way and you act a different way, and you don't demand, right? And you don't expect, and you don't treat them like a shivcha. But we say, listen, she's not your cook, she's not your waitress. If she would be your waitress and your cook, then she would be allowed to serve you when she's an eidah. And if there's halachas that she's not allowed to serve you when she's an eidah, right? And, you know, I mean, she puts down the food here, not here. She's not allowed to serve you. So that means she's not your waitress. You could be sure if she'd be your waitress, she would be allowed to serve you. I can promise you, halacha would be she's allowed to. It's dvarim shel chiva. It's your wife giving you food. This is the debris is going on. You're connecting. It's an act of ishus. Oh, she's not allowed to do it when she's not tomek, when she's not tosh. You can't do it. Chazal said it's dangerous. It's too chiba. That means when your wife serves you food, she's expressing chiba. So how do you have to react when she's serving you? And you have to react like it. You react that she's your waitress. Lo zocha. Famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tesamun Aleph. Lolum Yayodim Zoher Ba'onoas Ishto. Regular Isser Benodim Achavero of Onoas Dvarim. Onoas Dvarim is to make someone feel anything that causes someone pain. You say something to someone that causes them pain or distress or aggravation. That's the Isser Onas Dvorim. Lo'olam Hayodim Zohar Bo'Onas Ishto. You have to be especially careful with Onas Dvorim with your wife. Shemitov Demishadim Oso Matsuya, because she's more apt to cry. Ona Oso Krova. Rashi learns Ona Oso Krova. The Puranus, the punishment for Onoas Dvorim is quicker to come. Mamaher Lovo. That's what it means, Onoas Krova. Not the way you would learn without Rashi. Without Rashi, you would learn she's more easily susceptible to Onoas Dvorim. That's what Mitoksha Demosa Mutsuya means, that she's more susceptible to Onoas Dvorim. Onosa Krova means the punishment is there. Now, according to the Chazon Ish, it's very easy to understand why a wife is more susceptible to Onos Dvorim from the husband. Because she feels she's not Motzechen Be'enoth. If he speaks to her in a way that's degrading, that's insensitive, that's sometimes, Rebbe will say, humiliating. If he talks to her in a way that Onas Dvorim, if she feels he doesn't love her, if he talks to her in a way that he doesn't appreciate her, he doesn't love her, even if you can criticize someone, you know, and not make them feel that way. We'll get to it in a moment, how, very briefly. Now, Koponim Mitoksha Demosa Krova, because a woman is more sensitive in that relationship. She's more sensitive of how the husband feels. She cares more how her husband feels about her, right? So someone else, Onoas Dvorim, I'm a tsar, I cause you tsar, I know now what you think of me, you revealed yourself, you cause me pain and distress and uncomfortableness and humiliation. But for a wife, it's much worse, because the wife wants to feel she's motzachem ve'enei baila. And this says she's not Motzachain, and it makes her feel insecure. A woman is insecure. She's insecure if she wants to be pretty for the husband. She wants the husband to like her. She wants the husband to feel for her. And if she feels insecure, right, he loves nus. So that's Onasa Matsuya. She's more sensitive to how the husband feels about her. So anything that causes her pain or distress or aggravation, any hint, any implication that she is not motzachein be'einecha, I'm not talking about that you did something wrong and you're helping her be misakin it, but that therefore she's not motzachein be'einecha, that's onoas dvorim. It certainly includes being sarcastic, right? I mean, you know, onos dvarim. It's with a chevrusa, with a friend also. But to a wife to say that's ridiculous, that's stupid, to shout at her, to bring up the past, right? That's onos dvarim. We all know that that's the example Chazal give for onos dvarim, bringing up the past. And there's always a past, right? And when you argue, you bring it up. When there's cross words being exchanged, so there's a tendency to bring up the past that spits on us tomorrow. And that's terrible. Then she says, oh, look what he's harboring against me. Look what he's walking around with thinking about me. That's insecurity again. And even if things are good, she's wondering what you're thinking about her. So she feels insecure. Belittling her in front of the children is not only onos dvarim, but it's terrible. I mean, if you want to ruin your kids and ruin your chinuch, and then you'll belittle her in front of the children. That should never end. I mean, all these things should never be done. But don't bring up how your mother did it. That's onos dvarim. I mean, she's not molzachein be'eino. You could maybe suggest a recipe, I don't know. But nothing more than that. Also, nichlal onos dvarim, as I said, a tone of voice. And we could all fake it very well. Like in all innocence, they come to the marriage counselor or the rabbi. All I said was, you know, but it only takes one gesture, we all know that. One gesture, one twist of the mouth, a twist of an eye, of a nose, a gesture like that to make an innocuous, a seemingly innocuous statement into onos dvarim. So, I could never criticize my wife. So here's the test. Just ask yourself, I mean, this is true with every person, but a woman, a wife, is the touch of the Mosul Kreuva on also, because she's more sensitive to being Mosul Chainbanger. So whenever you criticize her, you have to stop for a moment and think. And here's the question you have to ask yourself. Will she be thankful to me after I've said what I've said? Now, we all know how to say things, even criticisms, that the person will be thankful to you, right? If you say, you know, I really appreciated that you spent your time making supper for me, and your suppers are great, but I don't particularly care for this kind of fish. You know? So she'll be, there's no normal person that wouldn't be thankful that you told them. That's all. Or if you, you have to think how to say it. That's all. It's an avoda. That's all. So it's an avoda. But that's the zocha nasus loezer. So that's the sentence. Keep in mind. That's when you walk out of here with that sentence. Only criticize her in a way that she'll be thankful to you afterwards that you told her. That's all. That's the key sentence. Then you can say to her whatever it is you want to say. If she won't be thankful to you for criticizing her, it's onos dvarim. And Bitosha Demosa Krova Onaosa Krova. Maybe if she won't feel thankful, but you'll take over and you'll be masaking. Now don't do that either. Don't say you'll make supper tomorrow night. That's the worst not Motzachem Ba'inov that there could be. Okay. Realize that your wife will not be on time. And she won't have what you need on time. Don't expect her. When the Torah parted women from the Zazasha's Mangroma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being very wise and knew what he was doing. A woman has a different type of focus, a different a Bina Yaseira, even, and I hope it has to do with the Bina Yaseira. She's extremely focused on what she's doing. And in the makeup of women, that they're perfectionists, and they have a lot of things to do, and they don't think the time is not... They're part of his own grammar. What more needs be said? So part of that is the chiyuv, because I'm connecting it to regular ben odom l'chaveira. You have to be down the kafschus. Right? When they're late, so the husband right away takes offense, and he starts thinking, and this is part of his baggage, that she doesn't really care about him, and if she cared about him, she would have his supper ready on time, or she wouldn't make him wait for her, if she really was sensitive to his feelings. And you have a chiyuv to be done on the kafschus, just like you have a chiyuv to be done everyone on the kafschus. But with a wife, it's more nogeya. So she's not late because she's not machshav of you, and she's not late because she doesn't care about you, and she's late because she's part of the mitzvah as man grama. That's just the natural makeup of women, and that's all. And that's, you have to know that. You have to expect it, and you can't expect them. You can't have any expectation in terms of time. You want to make a seder, you can finish Shas in the times in 20 years that she'll be late and you'll be waiting for her. So you'll make a siyum after 20 years. You'll invite her to the siyum. You'll thank her. And you can have a whole seder, just that you have a seder of something you learned when you're waiting for your wife. Just as a story, nothing to do with my wife. In the good old days, I used to have a car and drive around in a car. So I listened to the Torah tapes, you know, the Daf Yomi and the tapes. And I, after a week, I stopped it. Where did I go already? I just drove to Yeshiva and back within months. Went to the bank, stopped at a red light. I was spending 50 minutes a day in the car. And I never had any sense of that time. I started listening to the Daf Yomi, and I always just about finished the day's daf just by putting on the tape when I was in the car. So I realized, I'm spending 15 minutes a day in this car. Anyway, so you should have it. So I had my seder of when I'm driving the car. That's my point. So you have it's not a bad idea. Have a small Mishnah Brura. I'll bet you can go through the whole Mishnah Brura in 3 years of waiting for your wife. And you're waiting for supper to be served. You're waiting for her to finish getting dressed. You're going to a chasana, or you're waiting for her to come. You made up to meet, to leave the chasana, take out the Mishnah Brura. That's the Eitzah. But don't expect her to be on time. Okay. Chesed. Again, we're in. So that was down the Kafschus. If I'm making lists of regular Bein Odom Machaveros that are always Nogea, your wife, or most, more so Nogea, your wife, than other people. So I'm putting the being late in the Dan L'Kavschus. Don't take it as a personal offense. Just be Dan L'Kavschus, that she was busy with whatever she was busy with. She was focused on whatever she was focused with. She was more than likely getting ready, doing something for you. Because if she's getting dressed, she wants to look nice for you. So let's say you want to say something to her about being late. So you start off saying how you appreciate that she was spending her time in order to look pretty for you. That's how you start off, and you appreciate that. Then you say it in a way that she'll be thankful to you for saying however you say it, however you decide to criticize her for being late. But don't criticize her at all for being late. Not a good idea. I say it's man grown. Just forget it. And have a seder. Okay, next is chesed. Right, a person is supposed to do chesed with a fellow Jew. So you're supposed to do chesed with your wife. And your wife is the biggest opportunity to do chesed. She's always there. And she's always around. And you're always interacting with her. And the biggest chesed with your wife, as I said, is the psychological chesed. All the things we spoke about. That's the chesed. So you're mekayim the mitzvah of chesed. You're mekayim gemilus chasodim. When you, okay, your wife doesn't need most of the time. If she needs your help, of course you have to provide the help. That's That's also if Tazo Vimo. Of course, you're mechuyif to help her in the things that are naturally hard tasks. The Olam and the Tefillah knows that I don't believe that there's a shutzvis in household duties. There very much is not a shutzvis in household duties. The husband's task in Achrayas and Shibud is to go out of the house and work and earn money and support his wife. His wife could sit in bed and eat bonbons the whole day. And if he can afford it, he has to hire a maid to clean the house, hire a cook to cook. She has to do nothing if he can afford it, if he has the money. My point is, he has his shibudim and she has her shibudim. They're not partners. And of course, if she needs help, you have to help her. But not because you're partners. That's an unnatural, untrue dynamic. You have to help her because there's this Jew that needs help. So of course you have to help her. And she's your wife, right? She's the closest, Korov Kodem. So of course you have to help her if she needs help. Most of the time that women demand help and kvetch for help, if they do, is because they don't feel that you care about them. I'll say it again. The biggest chesed you can do for them is the psychological chesed. And that's the chazal. I'll say it 10 times, I don't care. Zocha nasis lo ezer. She'll be the ezer she's supposed to be if you're zocha. And you're zoicha by making her feel that she's moitzachem be'inecha, and that you care about her, and that you're going to provide for her and take care of her, and she feels secure in the marriage. And she feels that you care about her, and you care about her needs. Then she'll run and be an Azer. But if she doesn't feel all those things, then she'll be resentful. She's a normal person, of course she's going to be resentful. And she's going to demand your help. Do this, do that, do that. But of course it's a double portion. If she indeed needs help, that's the biggest chesed in the world. You're mechuyif to help her, of course. You can't shut the door and ignore. The biggest chesed is at home. And one of the tragedies, unfortunately, of that comes up so often is this great Baal Chesed that does things for everybody in the community and everybody in the world, and his poor wife's at home and she can't manage the household. And he's running around doing chesed for everybody else in the world. And of course, the biggest chiyuv chesed is in the house. And that's the biggest opportunity for chesed. In fact, the Michtav Meliyahu, the famous Michtav Meliyahu about giving and love, has a special perek, a special hadgosha on man and wife. And says that he always instructed Chosam Kala, when they were Chosam Kala before they got married, that their focus in the marriage should always be to do chesed for the other one. Not to think what you could gain out of the marriage, but to think what you could do for your ben zug, to think what you can do for her. We're talking and explaining the yesoides of what the best thing to do for your wife. The Michtav Meliyahu is making a klal. Don't think what you could get. Think what you could give. That's his instructions to the Chosam Kala. What I'm telling you is, you know, what you give to your wife is not helping her with the dishes. There's a much more fundamental giving you can give to your wife. And that's the psychology and the emotion that we talk to her. You talk gently to her. You talk to her and show her that you appreciate her. It's worth 1 week of dishes, at least. Okay. Rabosai, there's a lava of lo sikom velo sitar. To bear a grudge is usur. To pay someone back because they did something bad to you is usur. Kolshkein, 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 ben benosho kal v'chomer. This comes up countless times in a household. As I said, if you with your wife is the biggest surah of ben odom l'chaveiro, and you have to be very careful of a lav of losikom, to do something to her badly, something that's wrong, something that's you're not supposed to do, because she did something to you, is a regular love of losikol. And losikol is to bear a grudge, and to be resentful, and to have tainus on her, because she did ABC. So it's not hard to be over these lavim, unfortunately. The yahatul reacha kamocha is a regular ben adam lachaveiro that certainly applies to one's wife, and that includes asking for forgiveness. That's part of yahatul reacha kamocha, to be mafayas, right? Someone has tainus to you. You did something. You be the one. You have a chi of peace. Someone is upset, angry, resentful. Yeah, you have a chi of peace. You go over and you mafayas them. You buy her, whether it's flowers or candy, or give her money for a dress, or some sort of peace. And the peace is not just, I'm sorry for what I did, although it includes that also, but it's, be smart, be zocha. Say, I'm sorry for what I did, and I want you to know that I appreciate how much you always go out of your way to do for me. That's the pious. Show her you appreciate what she always does. And then you have some crossed words, and I'm sorry about that. And that the chi of pious and asking mechila is another regular quote unquote benodim lachaverim. Go back now to some general klolim. Chazal said, "May Hashem yotza hadavar." Think back to the Sheva Brachas inside when you were engaged. So you thought she is the perfect match for you. This is the perfect match. May Hashem yotza hadavar. By Sheva Brachas, it was like, what a perfect shidduch, and it was like so great, and, right? And that's how you felt when you got engaged, and you were close in Kala. That's how you should always make your wife feel her whole life. You should make her feel that she's the perfect wife for you. And she is, me Hashem Yotza Adomar. And you could talk like that, nothing to be ashamed of. You can say, me Hashem Yotza Adomar, and you're appreciating, as time goes on, tell her, as time goes on, I'm seeing it more and more, I'm appreciating it more and more, I'm seeing that you are the perfect shidduch for me. That's what she wants to hear. And that's what's true. And she is the perfect shidduch for you. And I said before, and if she hits your buttons, that's what Hashem wants. That's the perfect shidduch for you. So it's true. She is the perfect shidduch for you. Let her hear that she is. That's what she wants to hear. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia as follows. Daf Nun Tesum and Aleph. The same Amud as the Inaz Dvar. When should you listen to your wife? When should your wife have the say? Zakti Gemara, there's a chilek between Mili di Alma. The first lashon of the Gemara is that there's a chilek in Mili di Alma and Mili di Besa. So according to the first lashon of the Gemara, right, the husband is in charge, he's the captain. She's the first mate. He's the captain. But in Mili Debesa, in the running of the house, and buying furniture and food, and cleaning the house and keeping up the house, in Mili Debesa, Chazal say, she should be the Malka. That's my words, Malka, it's not the Gemara's words. But she should have the say in the household. You should listen to her, and that should be her malucha. Her malucha should be the household. That's the first lashon. Lishna achrina habemili dishmaya for habemili di alma. That in all matters, place, where to vacation, all sorts of things, you should listen to your wife, and your being the captain, you're being the baal, you're being in charge, should only be b'mili d'shmaya. The frumkeit in the house, the kashrus in the house, the ruchnius in the house, the chinuch habonim. That's what you're in charge of. But she's in charge of certainly mili de besa, but according to the second lashon of the Gemara, mili de alma. So the woman has her melucha, and you should make her feel that she's the malka in the house. This is her house. You don't have to step on the floor that she just mopped, you know. When she doesn't want you to step on the floor, that she, this is her melucha. This is where she's the queen. This is her house. And the, whether it's the cleanliness, and she wants you to tushdel to how she wants the house, you listen to her. That's what Chazal said. She has to say in the running of the house, whether it's the cooking, or when to eat milchiks or fleishiks, you want to change it? Be zacha. Tell her you appreciate everything she does for you. You understand she wants to please you. And maybe it would please you more if you ate fleishiks or face, whatever you want to tell her. Only tell it to her in a way that you know that she, after you tell it to her, she's going to say thank you for telling me. That's not yourself. But she's the malka. She decides. And it's I'm saying, there's a joke. Always good to tell them. Time to tell a joke. Okay. So they say a joke that they tell yeshiva guys, two yeshivas before they get married. One is that your wife's afraid of bugs, and don't make fun of her. Women are afraid of bugs. If you see a bug, don't make fun of her for being afraid of the bug. Step on it and be a hero. And the second yeshiva is don't step on the floor that you just mopped. So the guy asks, so what do you do if there's a bug on the floor that you just mopped? That was the joke. Okay. But what's the teretz? You know, we're having Shalom Bayis classes. What's the teretz? What should you do, Taka, if there's a bug on the floor that you just mopped? So I think the teretz is you should ask her what she wants. Because that's merely the baser. So you should ask her, what's your answer? Should I step on the bug? Or should I leave the floor that you just mopped alone? Okay. What? No. Yes, but not now. Because I want to finish. We talked about your wife wants your companionship. Realize that when your wife's home, she's waiting for you to come home. That's the psychological makeup. She's waiting for you to come home. And I know that this is true Shabbos when you're in shul also. I know she's waiting for you to come home. I know that. That's why you should tell her over the drasha. So then she feels that she was in shul also. She feels she's part of your being in shul. And a chanami. If you don't tell her over my drasha, then she'll resent when you come home late. Because then you were in shul, having a wonderful time listening to this fantastic drasha, and she's sitting home with the food and the chopped liver, and it's getting cold, and oh my goodness, what's going on? Right? But you come home and you tell her over the drasha, hey, this worked out pretty well. You tell her, then she won't be resentful. Then she'll feel part of it. That's the yesod you said. But really, I would paskin la halacha, if I were asked, that you're allowed to walk home quickly on Shabbos. That's called walking for a Dvar Mitzvah. Your wife's waiting for you. It's mamish there, that feeling. And she's waiting for you, and you come home, it's like a shibud almost. You're going home quickly, more quickly, and you're not strolling home, but you're going home more quickly, even on Shabbos, when you're not supposed to walk fast, except for a Dvar Mitzvah. No, walk fast. You're not supposed to, like, walk purposefully and quickly on Shabbos, but for a Dvar Mitzvah you could. This is called a Dvar Mitzvah. Your wife's waiting for you, you're going home. Okay? Another part of this companionship opinion is to ask her, oh, we said already, ask her how her day was, and then make sure the day is shared. So she feels that sense of companionship. If you're gonna be late, call her up. Tell her you're going to be late. This, first of all, makes her feel that she's part of your day. And it increases her sense of security, because she sees you're thinking of her. And that's what a wife wants to know, that you're thinking of her, that you care about her. And just by calling her up and saying, I'm going to be a half hour late, so instead of her sitting there waiting for you and getting upset and feeling insecure that she doesn't know where you are and feeling that you don't care about her because you're not machshiv her enough to tell her you're going to be late, and you are mechuyev in zman groma, right? So of course you could be Daniel the Kafschus, but she's bucking a natural tendency, and that she's feeling insecure. Chazal recognized that a woman has to be made to feel secure. She's naturally insecure in a marriage, and you have to make her feel that security. So you tell her if you're going to be late. It shows you're thinking of her. And that's the biggest chesed you could do for your wife, if she feels that you're thinking of her a whole day. Not consciously, you know, thinking, you know, but you're concerned about her a whole day, and you're working for her a whole day, and you're caring about her, and you have in mind her needs and her interests. And that's the chesed you can do for your wife, is that she acquires that security that you're thinking of her a whole day. Realize that your partner's in reaching life's goals. That is a partnership. Yes. I'm saying it also. Marriage is certainly a partnership. It's a partnership in reaching life's goals. You're working together to reach whatever goals you have in life, and that's the partnership that you have. And therefore, you know, there'll be times when you're arguing. So besides everything else we said about arguing, about Onos Dvorim, and making her feel the Muslim craver on that. But just the mindset when you're arguing. Just imagine two partners arguing about how to run a business. Like imagine. Picture that argument. And imagine two competitors arguing. Right, two different people with two grocery stores, and they're arguing about something. And now just imagine to yourself the tone of the argument, the clash of the argument, where the argument's going to lead to. You're not a competitor with your wife. And many times the argument is, you listen in, if you listen to yourself, it sounds like two competitors are arguing. And they're fighting with each other. And just keep that sentence in mind. And, you know, sometimes it only takes a certain mindset and your memela act differently. Sometimes. There's avoda atzmis. You have to learn musar. And you have to chazer. And you have to sometimes have things like workshops to get you to act a certain way, but sometimes it's easy. You know, sometimes if you fall into a certain pattern of acting, you just automatically you'll act that way. If you just put yourself in a certain mode, so saying if you put yourself in, this is my partner I'm arguing with, not my competitor, then mamela, you'll just talk differently. The argument, you won't insult, right? When you're fighting with your partner, it doesn't degenerate into insults. I mean, by normal people we're talking. Oh, you're fighting with a competitor. Ooh, you're ready to kill each other. When your wife is being silly with kindness to you, be smart. Figure out what's really bothering her. I mean, you should do this with all people, all the time. This is just magnified by your wife. If it seems to you that she's being petty and she's being feminine and silly, think. You're the gavra, you're the man. Think what's really bothering her when she yells at you for coming late or for buying the wrong thing or for not caring. Think. The symbolism's going on. Think what really bothers her. And 95% of the time, 90 maybe percent of the time, what really bothers her is, of course, again, she thinks you don't care about her. She thinks, she feels insecure. She feels she's not motzis chein be'enecha, or you don't care about her. You're not concerned with her needs. But she has that basic insecurity. So you have to think that way, what's really bothering her. You should do things together. You have to think, because you want to shaft and create this feeling of, to increase her security, that she feels that companionship, that tav l'meis of tandum l'meis of armalu. You could have a seder to take a walk together every day, once a week, a longer walk. You can go out once a month. I mean, these are just suggestions. You could have a Mlava Malka, maybe. You could be Miyachid Mlava Malka to eat together, maybe. If you want to eat it late, you can learn together. I suggest many times that they pick something simple that they could learn together. But you should do something together. There should be something. You shouldn't always have different lives. And she's just, being the Ezer. Constantly. There has to be that companionship. So you should have something, pick something. I don't know, once a month. I don't know, take a walk. Do something together on a steady basis to increase and to buttress, I think the word is, yeah? To shore up that feeling of companionship that the woman has to feel. All right, we'll stop here.
This battery went dead.
Is it working?
It doesn't look like it's still getting
on. It also wasn't on.
Oh no, maybe it is.
If you need us, I'll
hire
you. Okay. Tell Matt. Better. Like photographers ruin a chasma. David Cole is ruining a drama.
I don't know if that's a lot better than most PhDs I know.